And we're coming up on 3 p.m., and it's time now for Arts Live and Local. I'm David Paul, in for Carol Newman. Well, my, oh my, it is that time of year, isn't it? We're coming up on Halloween, and this Sunday, the North Coast Symphonic Band is going to get into the spirit of the season by presenting Tales of the Supernatural at the Liberty Theater at, I'll let our guests tell you about it, 2 p.m. on Sunday, October 26th at the Liberty. And here to talk about it, we have the musical director of the North Coast Symphonic Band, Dave Becker, Bob LaTorre, and Count Walters has made a rare daytime appearance and graced us with his presence, risen from the crypt. I'm glad I have my whatever you have against the vampires. Welcome, gentlemen.
Well, good afternoon.
Thank you very much.
So this is going to be the kickoff to your 35th season.
Right. This is 35th season with the group. We have some of the original members are still playing, still great players, and very involved, and very active community band. And we would love to see a great audience for this show. This one is always a lot of fun. The cut that you were playing to get us in the spirit of things is actually from one of our previous Halloween concerts this time of year, and a very memorable moment for me. That was the first concert I conducted with the group, and I emerged from a coffin at the end of that funeral march, conducted by my colleague here, Count Walters, and written by one of our resident composers, Dave Robertson. So it's he wrote the music, and we had a fun time starting that concert. I'm not going to come out of a coffin on this concert, however. So
you're going to be there on the podium, emerging from a crypt or a coffin.
But it still should be a lot of fun, very interesting.
Well, let's talk about this program a little bit. What's on the agenda here?
Well, we're calling it Tales of the Supernatural, and that's kind of more wide open in some ways than just a Halloween concert. But we have a lot of things like that. We're going to start out with a piece called Through Darkened Sleepy Hollow, which is the old Washington Irving Headless Horseman thing, and then The Night on Bald Mountain by Mussorgsky. It's a transcription for band. That's kind of a classic Halloween-type piece about witches' Sabbath.
Yeah, we've seen the Fantasia.
Yes,
heard Night on Bald Mountain.
And we've got cemeteries are kind of big this time of year with Halloween, and so we have a cemetery piece, but it's not a spooky thing. It's about the Normandy American Cemetery in France Omaha Beach. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece, and a very powerful, dignified musical piece. And then we've got one that's PG-13, I think, for gore. it's from a 14th century Portugal legend about a king and his wife, and it's got some sort of graphic violence described about the decaying queen things.
Is that the legend of Alcobaça?
The legend of Alcobaça, yeah, that's the one. So that will be, and it's plus a really moving piece, and it's a great love story, but it's a little gory.
Now, you're going to have super titles.
Yes, yeah.
So it's going to be in Portuguese?
No. No, but it's very programmatic. It really tells a story about this legend, and two ghost pieces. They're quite different. A rag by William Bolcom, graceful ghost rag. Tune will be stuck in everyone's head after we get done. It's a great piece, and then Your listeners are familiar with the composer Eric Whitaker, who's
usually a choral composer.
He's a huge name in choral music and one of the real rising stars. And we're playing the first piece that he wrote for Winds. He actually writes quite a bit for Winds, but we're playing the first piece he wrote, which is Ghost Train, which is about kind of that American folklore tradition of the phantom train that comes out of the mist and, mm-hmm. and all of that. And end up with a non-scary piece that's sort of supernatural, and that's the highlights from Frozen, the big
hit movie.
So, and then we've got one other piece that I've let my other colleague here, the other Bob that's here with us, talk about, and that's The Cremation of Sam McGee. So Bob Latore's written it, is going to narrate it.
Yeah, this is a poem that, for a lot of people, really needs no introduction. I mean, it's the classic campfire fair.
Robert Service.
Robert Service, the great Yukon poet. And he it was almost the first poem he ever wrote back there, literally right there in Dawson City, just a couple of years after the 1898 gold rush. And he just took a walk through the hills one day and composing in his mind and had the whole thing done by the time he got home. All he had to do was scribble it down. And pretty much it has come down to us in its original form. And it's just so, so fun. It has a very strong rhythm and rhyme scheme.
Service poems do. They really do.
Yeah, that was his main forte, was just having very musical sounding poetry just with the words. So I memorized this like so many other people did years ago.
So you've committed it to memory.
Oh, yeah.
Could you give us a couple lines, say the opening lines?
Well, let's see. Everybody's familiar with this. There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold, and so on and so forth and so on and so forth. Yeah, so memorizing Service's poetry has kind of become a hobby of mine. I could sit here and go for an hour and a half.
Oh, is that right?
Just because it's so fun. So having so much of this inside my mind for 20 years plus, I finally said, okay, I got to write down some of this music. And so I just started, I had composed several pieces before, so I kind of knew what was coming as far as what I wanted for the sounds and Alcobasa piece we're playing. It's very programmatic. So there's a lot of sound effects here, there, and everywhere. So it was a heck of a lot of fun just to compose, and then to bring it in and have everybody play it and play all the sound effects and things was fun. So
what kind of sound effects are you talking about?
Well, let's see. A lot of them were pretty subtle. So when I say Sam McGee was from Tennessee, the careful listener will hear a little bit of the Tennessee waltz going on with the clarinets.
There you go.
And then later on in the piece, when he crouched on the sleigh and he raved all day of his home in Tennessee, they play it again, but an octave higher and all dissonant, and half of the section is playing a half step away from the other half and so on, because that's him raving about Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And just little things like that. Didn't like to hear him sizzle, so when I put him in the furnace, the percussionist goes,
with a ratchet.
Wherever I could, I put in mm-hmm. little things like that, and it's just a heck of a lot of fun.
Now, so this isn't the first piece you've committed. Are you a composer, arranger? Do you have that in your background?
I am a lifelong band geek. I think that's the best that can be said about me. I've been playing trumpet forever, and about 14 years ago now, I decided, what would it be like to write a piece? I don't know. I had no idea. And so
with no background in musical notation, really?
No, or none, really.
Or composition?
Just
the way you went.
Many years of severe band geekness is all I had going for me. That was my education. And so I wrote a piece by hand. It was a march, kind of a simple march. I brought it in, and we played it at rehearsal with this other band I was with in Washington. And fortunately, everybody knew me well enough and was very kind and considerate. And despite the fact that it didn't sound very good, they still worked with it and were willing to work it up until we were able to perform it at a concert. So that gave me the confidence I needed to say, well,
keep going.
I can do this. So I've written about 8 or 10 pieces.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
has the North Coast Symphonic Band performed any of them today?
This is the first one.
This is the first date. So this is a premiere.
It is, yeah. My Oregon premiere.
Composing. Well, we're delighted to have Bob with us. And he did play in a fine, fine adult band like ours up in the northern part of Washington and moved down here a few years ago. And so we're delighted delighted to have him, and we hope to play more of his things in the future. And he'll also be playing all the first trumpet parts.
That's what I was wondering. So are you going to double as both narrator and trumpet in the upcoming concert?
Yeah,
this whole thing came about since Dave and I both live in Manzanita. This summer, we were chatting at the farmer's market, and he mentioned what the theme of the concert was going to be like. And I said, you know, I wrote this piece that might fit in. So one thing led to another, and here we are.
Yeah,
so it's just kind of how things happen.
You keep running into each other.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And, of course, the pre-show is going to be somebody who's probably pretty familiar to anybody who's been to the season concerts, the fall concerts of the North Coast Symphonic Band and other Halloween concerts, Count Walters.
Yes.
And the Zombies.
Yes.
Are going to be
the Count
there.
And the Zombies will be there in my Friday afternoon self. I'm Bob Walters, but the Count will appear Sunday afternoon, and we'll start 10 minutes early simply because we have a lot of equipment to move around and move around after we're done before the band starts. So we will be starting our pre-concert show at 1:20.
Now, you've been collecting Halloween music for years and years and years. When you were a band teacher over in Nacelle. So how many songs do you reckon you have in your repertoire?
Actually, I was a band and choir and general music teacher in Napa.
Oh, in Napa.
In Napa, when this all started. And in fact, my favorite song I got off of one of Debbie Twombly's troll radio shows. A song called Yuck.
Yuck.
And it's a favorite, written by a child psychologist on the East Coast who was actually dean of a school for troubled children.
Oh, is so he had plenty
his
of
His name
experience.
Is Peter Alsop, and yeah, fascinating. But I started doing these with my students, and it turned into a little act, and I started doing little assemblies for our school and then later for other schools in the Clatskanie area. And
About how long ago was
that
this?
That was 30 years ago. When
30
it
years ago, so yes. Back in the 80s.
In fact, my dentist, who was one of my students, I said, remember this song? And
he says, oh, yes.
And he says, I remember when you composed that song. And I said, you were on the ground floor of Count Walters then. And then about 10 years ago, I have three sons that were all rock and roll, rock musicians. They wouldn't like me to say rock and roll, but rock musicians. And they came to me and said, gee, you know, we'd like to get in on this. And so we have turned it into a rock Halloween show. So, and it is rock.
Now, you're the keyboardist, and front man, as I understand.
I play keyboard, if I recall. I play a lot of guitar in it too, and I'm the Count. I have to kind of show the Zombies what to do, but they're not too much with it, you know. Everything except playing their instruments, and they're awfully good at.
And what instruments do they play?
Well, it's a typical rock band setup. I play some keyboard and some guitar. My oldest son, Zombie, is a lead guitarist.
The oldest Zombie one.
my middle Zombie son is our drummer, and the youngest one is our bass and vocalist with me. So, this concert's going to include everything from Yuck to a straight rendition of the song Godzilla. And songs like
Godzilla, the Black Sabbath,
Blue
Godzilla.
Blue Oyster Cult, and yes, and the Monster Mash, of course.
Oh God, you gotta have that. You have to have the Monster Mash.
And I often parody a song to put in this show. And this year, if you're a Neil Young fan, you may recognize Trick or Treatin' in the Free World.
Oh. Okay.
So, yes, it's a varied show for all ages.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. It always, always is. Now, the North Coast Symphonic Band is probably, how do you keep, you're always looking for personnel, I would imagine.
Yes, yeah. I mean, this is the, you know, really best opportunity for wind players and percussionists in the North Coast to get involved on a Monday night. And we have, age-wise, we have some players in their 80s, and we've got some high school students generally and some just out of high school that play with us. It's a real community band, and people play just for the love of playing. It's an all-volunteer organization, and they're very passionate about it, work real hard. a lot of fun to work with. I'm having a great time with them.
Now, a band as opposed to an orchestra.
Right. This is a wind band, so it's got all the orchestral winds in it, but without the string instruments, except for string bass. So the clarinets and flutes kind of serve the role as the violins.
That was going to be my next question there.
And on our Bald Mountain piece, Night on Bald Mountain, I mean, that's the most challenging thing we're doing, and it's challenging because those woodwind players have to play all the violin parts.
Oh, yeah.
And they go by fast, and they've been working really hard on it. The brass players play pretty much what would have been in the original
orchestration.
But there's a long tradition of that, of transcribing orchestral music for concert bands like us. But in the last 50 years or so, that's not as common, and now there's lots more original music by all kinds of composers. So, and there'll be a lot of variety. That's really kind of our hallmark. And concert band is real eclectic programming where, you know, we can play a novelty piece and then play a very serious piece like this cemetery piece that we're doing, and play popular music of any day like this rag.
Uh-huh.
So it's, you know, that's kind of the strength. You're not going to go like with an orchestral symphony concert to hear Haydn and Mozart and
right.
a Beethoven symphony, or a modern piece like something that was written 100 years ago. So, you know, most of our music is written recently, but it's not in, a modern style that would put people off. It's very tuneful and beautiful and interesting, and we enjoy playing it.
Yeah, sometimes I look at my old con trombone over in the down in the basement, and it kind of calls out to me, okay, you used to be pretty decent on that thing. And then I go to your concerts, I think, you know, how would somebody like me who's been thinking about that, you know,
well,
what would the steps be?
To talk after that. But seriously, we have a lot of people that have, of course, most are lifelong musicians. They've
right.
played all their life. But we've got some in the group now that are coming back to it after retiring and having a career, you know, that for some reason they just stopped playing, and they're getting it back now. And we have someone joining us for the next series that was a pro, played lead trumpet player in the Glenn Miller band back in the day, and not the original one, but the touring band.
The reincarnation.
Band. Yeah, and things like that. He was a real pro, and then didn't play for about 25 years.
Yeah.
And he's been working to get his chops back, and has relocated over here to the coast and wants to get involved. And so we have a lot of people like that. So if you've got an old dusty trombone in your basement and you're thinking about trying to get back at it, come and sit in with us and see how it goes, and we'll put you on some easier parts and get you going.
When are your rehearsals and where?
On Monday nights, we rehearse at the PAC at 7 o'clock.
At the PAC, you're one of the resident groups of the PAC.
Yeah.
The resident artists
of
the PAC.
And the group rehearses basically year-round except for the stretch from July. We do our big 4th of July and 3rd of July concerts, and then we take August and a little bit of September off and start up again. So,
great.
We'll have about 52 members on stage for the concert on Sunday. So it's a big group, and great people.
That will be this Sunday at the Liberty Theater in Astoria at 2 with a pre-concert at 1:30, 1:20, 1:30. 1:20 by Count Walters and the Zombies.
And the Zombie Band, yeah.
Tales of the Supernatural. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in today to talk about this upcoming concert.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
We'll have a brief interlude here, and then we'll talk about a hootenanny.
You cry when you see I'm gone. It know there ain't no woman gonna settle me down. I just gotta be traveling on, a singing.
Green, green is green, they say, on the far side of the hill. Green, green, I'm going away to where the grass is greener still.
Now there ain't nobody in this whole wide world gonna tell me how to spend my time. I'm just a good loving rambling man. Say, buddy, can you spare me a dime? Hear me crying, it's a
green, green, it's green, they say, on the far side of the hill. Green, green, I'm going away to where the grass is greener still.
Yeah, I don't care when the sun goes down where I lay my weary head. Green, green valley or rocky road, I'm gonna make my bed, easy now.
Green, green, it's green, they say, on the far side of the hill. Green, green, I'm going away to where the grass is greener still.
Everybody, I want to hear it now.
Yeah, well, back in the old days, when I was a kid, there used to be a show called Hootenanny. I remember Hootenanny, Saturday night, every Saturday night. Here to talk about a Hootenanny that's coming right up, we have Paul Duber and Richard T. No stranger to Richard Tomasian. Oh, yes, the Tomasian Trio, yes, and that's Richard T., yes. And,
there you go.
And so, how about this event that's coming up?
Well, hi. Number one, thanks for having us on the show. I really appreciate it. The Hootenanny, let me start with the definition of Hootenanny. Originally, it was a political term for a fundraiser that was musically based, started in Seattle. Pete Seeger took it to New York.
Started in Seattle. I did not know that.
Yeah, grassroots political fundraising, and they put it around music. So they had musicians come and perform, and the donations that they got supported the political group. Pete Seeger took it to New York, and it became a fundraiser for musicians. Some of the folks that were in New York that were in support of the up-and-coming folk music genre would host Hootenannies at their homes. And then they would pass the tip jar. They would invite musicians to play, mm-hmm. and then the tips supported the musicians, helped pay their rent and their utilities, et cetera. And that's essentially where the term came from.
And so it's in that spirit that this event...
It is, yeah. That kind of my thought in getting this thing going was that I really wanted to be able to promote the local or regional performer. A lot of us have venues that we play in on a fairly regular basis, but generally we have the bar crowd or somebody who might be going out to a dinner on occasion that comes and sees us. But what would be really fun, I thought, was to get this out in a larger format where an entire group, the townspeople, could come and enjoy the music, original music, by local and regional artists. And so this is a fundraiser for the Cannon Beach Academy, our new school, hopefully. And it's also to promote the regional or local musician and their own material, not cover something they've done that somebody else's song, and also to promote the venues that we play in, because some of the places in Cannon Beach are regularly do music, and it's great for us performers that are trying to find a place to play and maybe make a couple of bucks at it. It's great to have these venues available to us, and so this is also promoting the venues as well.
Talk a little bit about the Cannon Beach Academy, if you will.
Well, the Cannon Beach Academy, I can't give you too much information. We had a meeting just last night, and I know that they've pulled back their proposal, is my understanding, and they are reviewing that and are going to present it again. There were some deficiencies in it, I understand, some things they needed to change, but it is full bore.
This will be grades 1 through 8 or 1 through or K through or 1
initially,
through 12?
Initially, it's 1 through 5.
1 through 5, okay.
Yes.
And the Cannon Beach Elementary School is closing.
Oh, it has closed.
It has closed,
oh, it
yes.
has closed,
and this
yes.
is a,
yeah.
effort to bring back a local
elementary school. A very strong grassroots effort to bring back a local school.
And would this be a public?
Charter.
It would be a charter school. Now, let's look at some of the, I'll talk about some of the artists you have. It's quite a lineup.
Yes, it is.
Bill Seidel, you, or Bill Steidel, you, Michael Corey, Bobcat Rice, John Broderick, Jay Speakman, Mike Costello, Julie Adams, and others. And we have one of the artists here with us today.
We do.
I do believe.
Richard Tomasia. And when that little poster was put out, that was the first poster I put out, and it was before I had a commitment from everybody. And Richard, I got a hold of Richard and said, hey, and he said, okay. So Richard joined us. And we also have Dallas Williams, who is a performer in performs regularly in Cannon Beach, I believe on Thursday nights.
Thursday nights.
At Sweet Basil. And let's see, I'm thinking that that's probably the only two additions that we have to the lineup at this point.
Now, Richard, you got your guitar with you.
I do. Yeah.
I told Richard, I said, you bring your guitar and sing, and I'll talk. Whoa. Are you going to do one of your originals, Richard? Are you going to do a, or a cover?
I don't know. I was thinking, I'll do a song that I wrote, probably one of the first songs I ever wrote, actually. I was about 20, 23, living in Vida, Oregon. Remember
Vida? Yeah, that's down to the Eugene area.
Yeah, so on the way, to, I think it's Highway 26.
Yes, Vida, Lieberg, Vida, Blue River, McKinsey Bridge.
Yeah, that place. So I was there, that was my first stop, and I was... staying with some folks, and somehow this popped out. So, and I, you know, when this Hootenanny thing came up, I was looking through original songs because it's supposed to be all original. So, like, I have this little book of stuff, and I ran into this song, and I was just like, wow, that's right. I was 20 something years old, you know, 22, 23. So, anyway, it's called Looking to See You. Shall I?
Yes, you should. Okay. Please do.
Well, I could sing you a song, but the words are all wrong to say what I'm feeling today. But it really does matter, and I think you can hear the things that I'm trying to say. Looking to see you look in my way, looking to ask you to come out and play, hoping to see you starting to say, looking to see you looking my way. I want you to know that my mind is aglow, and I really must give it a try. If you could see the way that I feel, the closer we'd be, you and I. Looking to see you looking my way, looking to ask you to come out and play, hoping to see you starting to say, looking to see you looking my way. Do-do-do, do-do-do.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
Outstanding.
Yeah, we were talking before the show, and it turns out you played at my wedding than 5 years ago.
It was a great time, too.
That was a great day.
You sang.
That was a good, I did. Yes. You were. Yes, I did.
I certainly was impressed. I was impressed.
Other people were, too. I don't know. I don't know if it was positively. But
no. It was good.
Yes, I remember that well. That was at my wife's request. So, what could I say?
Nothing. Right, nothing. Right.
Yes, dear.
Yes, dear. Precisely. Well, you've got quite a variety of genres too at the Hootenanny.
Yes. Yeah. Bobcat Rice has been performing since he was 12 years old. Started in Seattle. He's played with Guy Clark. He's played with Ricky Nelson. He played with a number of well-known blues artists throughout the East Coast and in the southern United States. And he'll be there. He's bringing a couple of his tunes. Michael Corey is the owner and operator of the music store in Cannon Beach.
Uh-huh.
And Michael's got a couple of really great tunes. One he just wrote, and I'm excited to have folks hear that one because it's a song he wrote after the terrible event in Cannon Beach with the mother and the two children.
Oh my gosh!
And,
yes,
he wrote a song called "Morning Dove,"
and
it's a wonderful song, and it was written as a result of the emotions he experienced from that event, from reading about that event. So we've got Michael Costello and Julie Adams, a duo, and Michael is from New York and has opened shows for renowned artists in the New York area, moved out here and kind of put the guitar away and then picked it up about the same time I did about 5 years ago, mm-hmm. I understand. And Michael's written some great tunes, and one I hope he does, I haven't got his song list, one I hope he does is Where'd the Money Go? It's have you heard him do that one? Oh, that's a great song. It's a great song. But Mike and Jules do a nice duo set, and Julie Adams is a photographer in Cannon Beach professionally, and she's got a couple of great songs as well. Let's see, Dallas Williams, have you played with?
I've played with Dallas.
Yeah.
Actually, we do the Monday night Legion at the Legion.
Oh, that's right. You guys
jam
are
every Monday, but. Yeah. Quite a bit that way.
Yeah, and Dallas is a real character. He's a great guy, and in his shows, he talks almost as much as he sings.
Oh, but there you go.
He's
a storyteller.
Sense of humor.
He's
fun to listen to. Let's see, who else? Bill Steidel. Well, everybody knows Bill Steidel, the artist in Cannon Beach. Bill is a tunesmith and has written a number of songs about life and people in our area, and fantastic tunes. So I'm really excited to have Bill there again. And let's see, who else? Michael Corey, I've mentioned him. Am I missing somebody?
John Broderick.
Oh!
And Jay.
Oh, my gosh, I should not forget John Broderick. John and Jay, John for sure was principal in starting Fisher Poet.
Yes.
And has written a number of great tunes, as has Jay. And so they're going to be doing some of their own.
Are they going to be performing as a duo?
They're going to be performing as a duo. They'll be bringing two songs apiece. And Michael Corey will also be accompanying them slide guitar.
That'll be a special treat.
Yeah. Yes, it will. Yeah, great. So we've got a fantastic lineup of people that are going to be there to perform. I'll be doing two of my songs, one that I wrote, 1970.
Oh, no kidding.
Don't you be handing me that.
I saw that.
The guitar is making its way over there.
And one that I just
sure,
wrote last
sure.
year.
It can be played by anyone.
It can be played. Yes, I know that. It's going to be a great evening. I think people are going to hear songs. When they go to venues in town and listen to performers, a lot of the performers don't ordinarily do their own material.
Uh-huh.
They'll
do covers.
Mm-hmm. And this is an opportunity for our local artists to get out and actually present
all
some
original,
of their, all
original,
original
material.
Yeah, you've got to bring your own music. So I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a really great evening.
Now, is it the first time you've had it? Is this a new event? Or?
Well, we had a Hootenanny last year, and it was and Richard and Maggie were there and performed. Several of the people that are with us this year were there, but we did whatever we wanted to do. It was more like it was almost like a song circle in the sense that at the end everybody chipped in,
mm-hmm.
and we sold the place out. So
kidding.
Oh, there were people. The fire marshal would not have appreciated the crowd, but we sold it out. It was a great event, and we had such a fantastic response from it. After the show, I kept having people walk up to me and say, "Hey, were you going to do that again? That was fantastic." So here we are. We're going to do it again. And this time, the only restriction is that the artists have to bring their own material.
Mm-hmm. So all original. This is going to be, that's just coming up on the 1st.
A week from tomorrow.
What time?
Yeah. Doors open 7 o'clock. Show starts 7:30. And we will play until we're done, which might be 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Whenever.
Whenever, yeah. We're not in any hurry. We're there to have a great time as performers, and we're so appreciative to have an audience, and we're appreciative to Coaster Theater to have the venue to play it in, because that's an amazing venue.
It is, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, boy. It seriously is. Yeah, it doesn't really get too much better than that. 190-some seats, and everybody, you know, you perform right at their feet. It's a fantastic place to play.
Now, are you selling tickets?
Tickets are on sale.
Of course, we can't talk price on public radio, but
theater. The theater box office has the tickets. The theater is actually selling our tickets for us. It is reserved seating.
Okay.
So there is premier seating and value seating. I guess they separate that. And another price for the kids, too. So we would love to have the kids come.
So they're on sale now.
They are on sale.
And you mentioned you sold out last time.
We did sell out last time. Yes, we did. In fact, we were taking extra dollars at the door because there were no more tickets. So we had a full house, really a full house.
So if you want to see this all original music event, Hootenanny, for the singers and songwriters of Cannon Beach on the 1st.
And the
then
Academy.
Better. Yeah. And the Academy, yes.
Yes,
to and the benefit Academy. For the Cannon Beach Academy. If you feel strongly about the Academy and you love good music, this is your event on the 1st at the Coaster Theater. And they can find out more, I imagine, by going online.
They can find out more by going on the theater website.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you all the details there. Well, Richard Tomasi and Paul Duber, hope to see you there. And thank you so much for coming in and talking about this as a unique event.
Well, thanks for having
thanks
us.
For having us.
Thank you.
All right, we'll have another musical interlude, and then we're going to talk about klezmer music. Back. I'm David Paul in for Carol Newman this week on Arts Live and Local, and we're going to talk klezmer at Gala here with Yankel Frank.
Falk.
Oh.
That's okay.
And we got an event coming up this Saturday.
Tomorrow night. Yes,
tomorrow
indeed.
Night. Yes. At 8 p.m. at Gala. Tell us a little something about what we can expect.
Well, we're a quartet. We go by the name Horace Ganya, which is the name of a tune by the Moldavian clarinetist German Goldenstein. We play a lot of his repertoire. We're a quartet. I play clarinet and I sing, Marty Morgenbesser is our accordionist. Andrew Ehrlich is the fiddler. And Ethan Chesson is the trombonist. Ethan, in fact, he and I were up at University of Washington grad school a few years ago together, where he started the University of Washington Klezmer Band. So we had some fun doing that, you know, playing in purple, as it were. But
yeah, that's right. It's color of the dogs.
Mainly traditional repertoire, but it's our own take on it. I mean, it's, you know, we play it faithful to what the music demands. And so it's instrumental to a large degree, but I've been singing for a long time. In fact, Andrew and Marty and I go back 20 years together. Ethan came to Portland, I think, about 10 or 12 years ago, we've all been playing together for a very long time, you know, whether in public places or in our living rooms. But it's a conversation that goes on. It's
less, so you know each other very well musically as well as personally.
Yeah, and in fact, for me, that's the great satisfaction of playing with this particular ensemble, is that, you know, we're friends. We've had a vocabulary that's evolved naturally over the course of 20 years. So we can, you know, start a tune and continue it, segue into something else. And it's not like we have to write out the set list in advance. If you're working with musicians that you're less familiar with, sometimes you have to be a little bit more formal. And there's just a natural intimacy, that musical intimacy, that comes from playing together and knowing each other's friends for a very long time.
So you can just launch into something and the other members will follow right along with you.
Often. Not always. This is real life. It's not always the case, but yeah.
Now, Cora.
Horatsiganya. It's a Romanian phrase. It just means gypsy hora. And the way the name of the band came about was Marty was talking with German Goldenstein, who he and I both took workshops from at a place called Klez Canada, which is in the Laurentian Mountains about an hour north of Montreal. It happens in late August, and Marty's been there several times. I was there once, and we both took workshops in Moldavian music. And German was playing this tune, and Marty says, "Is that a gypsy tune? Is it Hungarian, Romanian, Yiddish? What is it?" He says, "Yes."
Yes,
all of the above. In fact, it is a tune where all of the local traditions come together. It's something that, you know, I was a radio host for 30 years at KBOO at the sister station in Portland. And I had a Sunday, well, mainly Sunday mornings, but it was, we called it the Yiddish Hour. It was Jewish music from around the world. And one of the things that I started noticing as I was programming the show is that you'd find the same tune pop up in different national musical traditions that were adjacent to one another, that, you know, people can put up walls, they can build fences, they can do all sorts of things to keep people apart from one another, but musical tunes tend to hop over the fence pretty easily.
Sure.
And so you'll find the same melody that will occur in Turkish and Greek and Arabic, you know, it's the same tune. Maybe it's played with a little bit of a different rhythm in one culture as opposed to another. There's one tune that straddles the, you know, between Hungarian and Yiddish, and it's, you know, something that we know as Nach Abyssal. Well, in Poland, they call that the Czardasz from Spisz. And it's... It's basically the same tune. It's how different ears pick up the same melody. It's a lot of the stuff that I like to sing comes out of the Hasidic tradition, which is a more emotionally passionate form of worship from Eastern Europe, that, you know, it takes different flavors. Now, of course, you know, there are a lot of different Hasidic interpretations. There always were. I mean, there were different rabbis and different courts that that had different melodies. They would have a composer within, so like within Satmar, which is in Hungary, or Vizhnitz, which is now in Ukraine, but I don't know where it used to be. I mean, it's my grandfather's closest to the vision, its tradition. But, you know, the different courts, Bobov and some of the smaller ones, would have their own composers.
Oh, say, no. We resident composer, composer in residence.
Yeah, Mudgets, in fact, and I have no idea how that's spelled in Polish, but Mudgets is very prominent in Jewish music. They've had one composer named Ben Sion Schenker, who composed a lot of liturgical music. Andy Statman, who is not only a great klezmer clarinetist, but also well-known to anybody who follows bluegrass mandolin. Andy is right there at the pinnacle.
You can hear him every now and then on Shady Grove right here on KMUN.
And Andy's very close to the Mudgets Hasidic tradition. So you'll find within the Hasidic world that you have different composers that were brought in. Well, there's a tradition in Hungary. There's what they call Kalev, or the Kalever Hasidim, and in Hungary, the town was called Nagy Kalő, and it's still, under the Hungarian flag in the northeastern corner of the country. And the rabbi there, this is about 200 years ago, the Kalever Rebbe would travel around, and he would pick up tunes from the non-Jewish shepherds.
Oh, no kidding, from the tunes. Folk traditions.
Mm-hmm. So there's one melody in Hungarian, it's, you know, rose, rose, how beautiful you are. Forest, forest, how vast you are. If the forest was smaller, then the rose would be closer. And in the Kalever tradition, what he did, he transformed it into a holy song, which is, you know, that the gullus, you know, the exile from the holy temple, you know, how long it is, how painful it is. The Shekhinah, God's presence on earth, the Shekhinah, how beautiful it is, how radiant and imminent it is. You know, if the gullus were shorter, then God's presence would be closer to us. It's a beautiful
melody.
If we would take
the metaphor and reapply it in a different context.
Yep, and you know, so it explains. You know, it really is a transformation. There's a Hasidic concept of gathering the sparks, that there was once this light that just shone all over the world, and it, you know, it was the light of holiness, and it broke in pieces. You know, we're exiled all over the world now. We live our lives. We're in whatever different community we're in. And our job on earth, if, you know, for those who adhere to any flavor of this, the object is to gather up those sparks of light and reunite them so that, you know, so that the light of beauty and peace and radiance will shine over all of us. So it's the sense of gathering the sparks. And you find that metaphor in, you know, some contemporary Jewish music as well. They actually use that term. I don't, but so, you know, the Kalev tune is ta da 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 ta da 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 ta da da ta da da ta da da ta da.
Wow. Now you mentioned your grandfather.
Yes.
So that he was close to which tradition?
Vishnitz is his. He personally, when I met him, he had been in America. When I met him, when I was born, he had been in the States for 40 plus years, and he was still very much involved at the Orthodox synagogue in our town. In fact, you know, I sat with him every Saturday morning at you know, Sabbath services, Shabbos morning services. And he taught me my first Yiddish songs. He himself wasn't part of a Hasidic tradition at that time, but I have his parents' photograph in our dining room, and they very much were Vishnitz Hasidim at the time.
So you've been very familiar with this musical tradition since
Pieces of it. I mean, I grew up in America in the 50s and 60s, so, you know, it's very much an American upbringing, American cultural, you know, flavors that govern my life. On the other hand, stuff that I had from having grown up with a European grandfather who spoke Yiddish at home with my mom, and I had the privilege of having that cultural element as an integral part of my life growing up as well. So I set upon myself to go out and learn to speak Yiddish when I was in my late 20s. I didn't speak it.
Oh, so fairly late
then. Yeah, I mean, in fact, when I was in high school, I took German classes so that I could talk to my great-grandmother who spoke no English.
Oh, so there is some transfer there between the two.
Maybe half. There's enough of an overlap. I mean, there's certain stuff that came out of my mouth. She had no idea what I was talking about. But, you know, having grown up listening to Yiddish, I figured, this is going to, it's the only way I've got to get this close. But it was about 10 years later that I decided I needed to actually learn Yiddish because my grandfather at that time was in his late 80s
and wasn't speaking
much English anymore. Right. And he was as big an influence as I've ever had on myself personally in any other way. I mean, he was somebody I miss and I think about just about every day, even though he's been gone for over 30 years.
One of those larger-than-life figures in your life.
Yeah, he absolutely was. Absolutely was. Shaped me. You know, took me to my Hebrew lessons, and mainly, you know, I sat with him every Shabbos. And what he would do also, you know, he'd just walk around singing. He would just sing, and you know, he had the sense of melody as part of his daily life. And I'd say, "So, what is that tune, Pop?" And he'd look at me, and he'd think for a minute, he'd say, "For all the songs, ain't song." You know, he actually spoke this mixed English Yiddish after a while. But, you know, basically that all songs basically come together, that the sense of distinguishing the name of a tune, one tune from another tune, that was, to him, that was not something that he did. He didn't think that way. It was just walk around singing. And, in fact, that's real consistent with Hasidic tradition, that there are all these melodies, and they're called, you know, by... You know, the tune is nigun, you know, song, wordless song.
Wordless song.
You know, and sometimes it's attributed to the person who first sang it for other folks. And, you know, where somebody sat down and wrote it down. They you know, they went through the process of notation. But they're just songs from the heart. And so, in fact, that's kind of how we play together, where there's another tradition called doina, which is the instrumental equivalent, I guess you'd say. Doina in klezmer music, and actually in Romanian music as well, because it's a Romanian word, but it's a shepherd's tune. Traditionally, the shepherd would have a flute that usually had finger holes, but not always. Some of them have no finger holes, so you know, you do like a tilinko, where you'd run your finger back and forth on the bottom of a flute. You'd play it not transversely, but straight out like a clarinet almost. Yep. And you, by wagging your finger across the hole,
alter the tone,
can change the notes. Yeah, it's I've seen it done. I don't understand how it's done, but I like it anyway. But the shepherd would be out in the fields playing tunes to keep the sheep moving around, or maybe so. Figure you've got an audience, you've got to play, or you're out there by yourself and there's no one to talk to, and that's the only sound you're going to have. So these shepherd melodies are long improvisational pieces, and you know, they're played now in modern instruments, whether it's a violin or clarinet, trombone, electric guitar. People play doinas, tubas, whatever you've got. It's So the instrumental doina is, in fact, very close to what you'll hear in a synagogue, a traditional synagogue, where the cantor will go ahead and launch into an improvisation that's based around a mode. It's not a pure melody per se. It's a vocal or instrumental improvisation that's modal. It's Romanian. You know, I think partly, you know, why Romanian? Because Romania flew the Turkish flag for so many years, and Turks already had something there that was called a taksim. Mm-hmm. The Greeks call it taksimi. It's similar kind of extended improvisation along a mode rather than along chordal changes, which is what you find in jazz. And I think that's the big difference, that in jazz, you don't find people just working with a set of notes that fit into a scale. That traditionally, historically anyway, jazz has you know, gone from different chords, one chord to the next, and that's not common, at least in terms of doina or other kinds of improvisational klezmer stuff.
Now, the word Tsigane?
Literally gypsy.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Is it the Romani gypsy?
Yeah.
There was a composition by Maurice Ravel with that title, Tsigane. And then Hora is a round dance.
Well, it's a round dance if you are, you know, a friend of the Israeli Hora, as in Hava Nagila or just about anything else where you got this, you know, this kind of a 4-4 or 2-4 beat underneath it. In Romanian, which is, you know, where the term horror comes in a lot of traditional Jewish music, Romanian, it's a 3-4, and it's not just a waltz, it's a limping waltz. So it goes, bum, da 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 dum, da 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 dum, ba da da dum, ba da da dum, ba da da dum, da 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 dum, ba da da dum. So it's not an even beat, it's not an even 3. So that's sort of a Romanian horror kind of a tune.
Well, you've been thoughtful enough to bring in a CD of music here. This will be a little foretaste of what we can expect to hear on Saturday.
Yeah, this is a piece I recorded a few years back in Budapest with the group Dinaya Kapelya, which is a Yiddish term that means the new band. And it's the irony is this is all old-fashioned stuff. So thank you again.
Let's give it a listen.
Whoa!
There we go. Klezmer Kala coming up tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Doors open at 7:30 with Hora Tsigane.
Hora Tsigane, yes.
This sounds great. It's been very, very informative, very, very entertaining. Uncle Falk, thank you for coming in and talking to us this afternoon.
Well, thanks. Thanks a lot, and nice speaking with you. Take care and a good weekend to all.
And you as well.
And good Shabbos.
Ah! And, of course, on Sunday, the 26th, we'll have the North Coast Symphonic Band, and Tales from the Supernatural. And then on the 1st, the Hootenanny down at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. We'll be coming up about 4 o'clock, and then we'll have Free Speech Radio News.